We're asking God to teach us to pray. When the disciples watched Jesus pray, and they made the connection between Jesus' prayer and the ministry and the life that he lived and the power that they saw through him, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray in a way that's beyond anything that we have known. When Jesus responded to them, he did not give them the prayers that they expected, the prayers that they were familiar with. He provided for them a prayer that was entirely new, entirely unique in that culture, in that time, in that setting. I suspect that Jesus, in fact, gave them a prayer that was the sentiment of the intimacy of his own heart in all of those times that he prayed, that he now taught them to pray as he was praying before God, his Father. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. We're going to look at that in a brief way today, and then we're going to, again, have the opportunity to pray together right here in this setting. I want to, however, make a couple of observations before we take a specific look at this prayer. You might recognize that this prayer in Luke is shorter. It's the same essence, the same core of the prayer that you and I have memorized, many of us, from the Gospel of Matthew. I suspect that the Gospel of Matthew's prayer, I know that it was given in the context of the Sermon on the Mount in a large group, a gathering on the hillside there overlooking the Sea of Galilee. But this was in response to the disciples' ask, and so Jesus gives them this kind of model. So it's shorter, but it still is a powerful expression of how Jesus prayed. This prayer can also be divided, you'll note, into the pronouns that are used, your and us, if you take a look at it. He begins by focusing on God, and then he moves to very practical things, and he speaks of us and the needs that you and I face. In these words, Jesus essentially, I'm going to say, invents personal prayer. This, as I said, was not what the disciples expected. The Old Testament contained many beautiful and magnificent prayers, usually led or prayed by a king or a prophet. And the Jews practiced prayer as a formal recitation in worship, still today. Through the Siddur, the traditional Jewish prayer book is still used in that way. It is a public prayer. And there are good things about public, formal, recited prayers. They focus on the characteristics and the majesty of God. They provide a way for the whole body to confess in a broad way the sins that we all experience. But the disciples, now already trained, some of them, by John the Baptist, had probably learned to pray in this style, and they did not expect Jesus to offer them or to provide for them a prayer that was so personal, Father. And then it speaks about all the things that are very practical in life. It talks about debts. It talks about a need for forgiveness. It talks about a need for provision. And then it talks about things like temptation. This was not the way that they had learned to pray from John or from any of their other training at the synagogue. So this is an honest, transparent, intimate, memorable, direct kind of prayer. It is a personal prayer. And this prayer is for all ages. I still remember when we all together in public school prayed the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of each school day. It is for young, and it is for youth, and it's for old people, and it certainly is for all of us to be discipled in prayer. In just a few moments, we're going to ask the kids to come back up Middle school students are going to stay in. It's going to be a little bit of a mess, but I think that's the way Jesus would want the community of his followers to be together in prayer. And we're going to break down then into prayer groups, and we're going to pray. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up as to what we're planning to do, as we did last week. I really want, we're all different levels of experience and confidence in praying together. So I don't want anyone to go, okay, well, I'm out because I can't pray. If you don't feel confident to pray in that little circle, you can certainly say, I'll pass. But we really want engagement. If our prayer commitment is that we engage, then we want to engage together in prayer. So I'm going to speak very briefly on this short Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to get together and pray. The groups are probably going to be a little larger because we're including the kids. Don't worry about it. Here are some of the ways that we're going to take the Lord's Prayer now and just in very brief ways give everybody a chance to pray in a circle that is small enough that everyone can engage. Last week we said between 3 and 6 people. Might be a little larger than that, but nonetheless, a small group. We don't want like groups of 10 or 15 people. These are the points that you can prepare in your own mind to pray. God, I thank you that I can call you Father because, Father, I want to love your name by, Father, I want to bring heaven down to earth by, Father, today I need this. Father, I confess this sin and ask you to forgive me for, and Father, I will forgive. Now, Pastor Jeremiah has taken that and has also provided some descriptions that are kind of more kid-friendly, and I think you saw them there. We'll see them all again, and these will be up on the screen as we go to prayer. The kids are going to come back with a little piece of paper, and so when they enter your group, they actually have those instructions for children. So parents, if you're with them, you can actually just point to those, and it kind of breaks it down in a more kid-friendly way for each of them. Father, the first thing I want to say is when we pray, Jesus teaches us to pray as a child of God. We call God Father, and we would only call him that if we are his children. Now, he's created all of us, and so in that sense, we're all a part of his creation, and we are his children. But this becomes more personal in this sense, that we become children by being in relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that because of our sin, we're separated from God, but Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin, and if we believe him and trust him, then we come into relationship with God because we are determined to be not guilty for our sin because of the righteousness of Christ, because of the cleansing and forgiveness that he's brought to us. And so if we believe in Jesus and confess our sin nature to him, then he makes us new people and we come into relationship with God. We are his children, the Bible says. And it becomes a very personal way for us to address now God, our Father. It's a term of honor and reverence in our relationship. I talk with God, my Father. I don't simply see him in this theological, high-sounding kind of monologue that I address all of these high and lofty ideas to him. No, he's my Father. I am his daughter and son. And so I pray in that personal kind of way. And it's directed to God. Now, let me just make a point here. I don't think this is critical. And yet, the Bible teaches that we ask God. We express our prayer to God. Jesus has provided by his work on the cross the relationship. So it's through Christ that we come into God's presence. It's like he gives us access. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and enables, gives us the means for prayer. But we talk to God. We address God in our praying. Father. And it means we talk to him as a father who loves and cares for all of us, his children. We praise him for who he is and for his wonderful and mighty deeds that he has performed throughout history and also in our day. Ultimately, it means praying with a kind of honesty and frankness of a child who knows the Father's heart, which is to love and to understand and to give wisdom and strength. We are intimate with God through Jesus Christ. Father. And so we come in prayer in a very personal way through Jesus Christ. And by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the clarifying of how we pray in our hearts. That's what the Bible teaches. Father, hallowed be your name. We pray for our love of God's name. The phrase hallowed means may your person be made holy, set apart. May we treat you as one who is God. We don't come into God's presence and sort of, you know, we have this kind of flippant casualness. We have a relationship as parent to child, but he's God. And so we want to make his name holy. And we're really saying, as your children, we bear your name. We want to represent who you are well. May the whole of my life be a source of delight to you, and may it be an honor to your name, which I am called by. To hallow God's name means that I have submitted myself to the work of God's Spirit, which makes me into the likeness of Christ. My life gives testimony, bears witness to the fact that God is my Father. So I'm praying, Lord, may your name be loved in the way that I live. May I always be conscious of the fact that I am your son, your daughter, your child. And by that, may I make your name holy. Now, we don't say, Father, help me to be a better person, or help me to be good. Those aren't the prayers that the Bible tells us to pray. Only God can do that. I don't have to pray that. I submit myself to him, and I say, Father, not only do I know that there are all kinds of areas in my life where your name is not made holy, where I don't seem to honor you, but I also know that only you are the one who can make your name honored. Make yourself holy through me, and I'm quite willing to simply stand in your presence and submit myself to you and allow you to do that work so that my living honors you, honors your name, makes you set apart and holy. People say, God is glorified through Steve Berg's life. That's what I'm praying. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I'm praying for God's heaven on earth. This is a prayer for God's reign, his kingdom reign. Jesus said that when he came, the kingdom of God was present. That was the message that he preached. And so he has brought, inaugurated, begun God's rule on earth, God's kingdom rule. The kingdoms of the earth are broken. They're deficient. And God's rule, God's reign is what we pray for. We're also praying and looking beyond just life to what we believe is the full establishment of God's kingdom at the second return of Christ. We believe that God is working to redeem his creation, his people, and everything that he has made. And we look forward. Let your kingdom come. Let heaven come to earth. May your rule be established. And we pray for this. And we expect that Jesus is coming back to make the full commitment of that kingdom established in our lives and in the world, the created world that we know. May your kingdom come. Matthew, of course, adds, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a will of God in heaven. May that also be the will of God that is done and lived out by us as the people of God on earth. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. We pray for physical needs. We ask God for these things. The prayer for daily bread represents the fact that we live in complete and utter dependence on God. It's an expression of my trust. God, I know that you're the one who provides. I know that you're the one who's given to us, both in the revelation of your provision through creation, a world that produces food and sustains us in life in every way. But I pray in a very specific way. Father, here is what I need. I'm your child, and as any child would come to a parent, here's what I need. Now, the Father knows what we need, but he invites us to ask for the things that we need, and he invites us to ask in an ongoing way, in a daily provision. And so I'm praying about today. This is what I need. And I place my security and trust in God's hand on a daily basis. And it helps me remember every day, okay, I live this day in complete dependence upon God. I trust Him. Give us each our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Note how those phrase is given. Forgiveness. Here, Mike, let me cover this off this way. We ask for forgiveness because we're all born in sin, separated from God. So that is what I want to make clear to you, is we all are in the same condition of sin. But when I come to Christ, my sin condition has been dealt with. We say we're no longer slaves to that heart to sin, to that natural nature of sin. But now that we're followers, we're disciples, we're Christians, we're those children of God, we all live with the reality that we fail, that we miss the mark, that we sin. There are known sins. And so the Holy Spirit is doing the work in making us like Jesus, of showing us where in our lives we sin. So now we talk about known sins, plural, acts of disobedience. Sometimes it's just like my nature is inclined to speak, harshly. My anger gets out of control, and I'm critical, and I pull people down, and I'm not given to honesty, and I'm always trying to cover my bases because I'm afraid of what people might think if I told the truth, and so I'm always deceiving a little bit, and so the Holy Spirit's pointing this out, and He's pointing out when our minds are given to lust, and so the Holy Spirit, through our conscience, is again calling us to repent, to ask for forgiveness for our sins. When I come to Christ, my sin nature is dealt with. I'm made as a new person. As I live my life, I find that there are places where I don't follow in obedience, so I confess in a regular way my sins. Now, note, this is not just a blanket, yeah, you know what, I sinned, God, can you just cover it off? That's kind of like sweeping everything under the carpet. Okay. Sort of this general blanket prayer for forgiveness of sin. But the Holy Spirit wants me to confess specifically, because those sins stand in the way of what God desires to do in my life. I can't bear good fruit when these sins are continually operational, when they're undealt with. And so I confess my sin. Forgive us our sins. And then it says, we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That's true. We live in the reality that there are lots of people's actions who impact us. So they offend us. They hurt us. They let us down. They aren't faithful. And so there's, you know, we can all list that. Okay, this is the way that I know people have sinned against me. And Jesus teaches, again, on the Sermon on the Mount, Lord's Prayer, He teaches that we have experienced so much in our own personal need for forgiveness that when we realize we're sinned against, our nature is to want to retaliate and to get back, or to hold a grudge, or to, you know, keep nursing the fire of that wound, that hurt. But He's saying, no, you offer the forgiveness that you've received. So we ask for God's forgiveness, and we are quick to offer forgiveness. If I carry that around, that bitterness, that hurt, that wound, it is going to, again, stand in the way of what God desires to do in a fruitful way in my life. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone. We do this. This is how we live. It's a statement of fact. We forgive people who have sinned against us. And at a future time, I would love to unpack the whole issue of forgiveness in a very specific and practical way. And then finally, lead us not into temptation. We pray for our strength when we are tempted. This is the part of the prayer that may be troubling. Exactly what does this mean? One thing for sure it doesn't mean, and that's that God is tempting us. James, for example, says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So what is going on? Well, I'm going to say quickly, succinctly, that there are three sources to temptation. Ourselves, our inclination towards sin, to live in disobedience and rebellion. So we can be the source of temptation, our patterns of thinking and living. Certainly the world and the world kingdom around us influences us to be off the beam in terms of how our life should be prioritized. And so we're tempted because we live in a culture, a society that is not living in faithfulness and obedience to God and to trusting him. And then certainly we have an adversary, the scripture says, Satan, who is intentional with his host of evil spirits, his demons, to deceive us and to cause us to fall and falter in trusting God. And so, I've often said that when we are tempted to seek happiness, significance, and success through money, power, and sex, then those become the primary ways that we need strength in dealing with temptation. We will be tempted. We pray because all of us are tempted. It is a condition of the human life. And so we pray. We have a kind of tendency towards rationalization, to blindness, to these temptations. And we may not have the discipline to turn away from certain temptations due to our particular spiritual state or maturity. But God is the source of truth, of guidance, and strength and protection against temptation. Well, I'm going to invite Mike and Jen to come on up. And our kids are out there waiting to come on in. So let's bring the kids in, if you can hear me out there, Pastor Jer. And I've asked Jen and Mike to come. Here, Mike. Oh, you got one. Jen, where are you? Here she comes. Come on, Jen. So our students and kids have been involved as well in thinking about prayer. And I thought as they're coming on in, bring the kids in, ushers. Tell them to come on in while they're speaking. I'd like to sort of ask you, Jen, I know that last week, for example, you had some really fantastic things going on in Kids Quest around prayer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I'd just give a little window into what we do downstairs. And last week was definitely a very special time for us. We got together grade 1 to 5s in our large group, and we all kind of huddled close. We're focusing on listening prayer, which is sometimes not a really easy thing to do with a big group of 6 to 11-year-olds. As you could hear out there, it gets a little bit loud. So listening prayer for us, I thought, well, this could be a challenge. But I was amazed as we kind of huddled up together and we came close together and we took time to listen and focus on who God is, who God created us to be, and the way that God wanted to spend time with us and how we like to spend time with him. And we've been talking about that we know that we're created in God's image, that we're all unique and we are meant for relationship with him. So we just spent time listening to our creator, and they were silent. And they were silent for a while. I think it was almost 20 minutes of just talking a little bit, praying a little bit. And we spontaneously ended up praying for each other. Our leaders prayed for our kids. Our kids broke out praying for our leaders. And we prayed for you all up here, our church family and our church around the world. And they just kind of popcorn prayer, just prayed things out loud as I said, as I invited them to. And it definitely was a meaningful time for us, even an emotional time for some of us. I may have shed a few tears last week. So we really value our kids being up here together in our big family and spending time praying together this morning.
Wonderful. That's great. Okay, Mike, middle school.
Yeah.
Are part of three out of four Sundays, part of teaching during the preaching time. But last week, some amazing things just around prayer.
Yeah, it's great. Jen, you make it easy to be a youth pastor. Like the way you set up kids to come into youth ministry, exactly. And the way you teach and the team you have, it's easy. and so I thank you for that. Thank you for just your fervor, especially for prayer. And so we focused on the same message that you were teaching on, Steve. Right. We focused on praise and declaring the name of God. And we spent the last 10 minutes, and it was such a beautiful thing to see grades 6 to 8, and God, I thank you for, and it just kept going and going, and it so blessed my heart that these students pray out loud, and they don't, they're still worried about what other people think, but they're bold in doing that, and I think we can learn from that.
Yeah.
The Spirit intercedes for us already. So he's already editing our prayers.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very cool.
Awesome.
And it's great in some ways for all of us as adults to catch up to where our kids and students are, right? I mean, in many ways, there's kind of this, they get it, this simplicity, directness of prayer. And so they're in the room. Thank you, guys. And now we're going to cluster up. So let me go over again how we can pray in our groups, and then you can cluster up. Make sure you introduce yourselves. Everybody should know who's in the circle, just with a first name. And then it's, God, I thank you that I can call you Father because. So kids, God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. I thank you because you are, okay? That helps you break it down a little bit. Adults, Father, I want to love your name by. And so kids, may the life I live be a life of worship to you. I want to love your name and bring you glory and honor by. Okay? Father, I want you to bring heaven down to earth by. And kids, I can't wait till you come back to earth. But until that time comes, help me live my life day after day like I'm walking hand in hand with you in this way. Okay? Adults, Father, I think actually adults are going to be queuing off the kids' stuff, right? It's just clear. Kids, God, I have a lot of needs and I have a lot of wants. Help me not to get those confused. Help me to trust you to just meet my needs and be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. I like that. Wow. Too many words, Jared, but you know, whatever. Father, I confess this sin and ask you to forgive me for. Kids, God, I've blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I won't take it for granted as I hand over these sins to you. And then finally, Father, I will forgive. And kids, help me to forgive blank in the same way that I've been forgiven to bring you glory. Isn't that great? Okay, we're going to go to prayer. And so I want you just to, it's got to be noisy. It's got to be just engaged. And so circle up just with the group on beside you or in front of you or behind you. And let's pray for the next 15 minutes. And God bless you as you pray the Lord's Prayer in these really practical ways. Go for it. Jesus, you taught us to pray. And we have committed this prayer to our memory. But sometimes because we've prayed it so often, it seems so familiar, it loses the power, the directness, the faith of our own hearts as we pray. So Lord, I just pray that you will teach us again this prayer. And may it often become part of kind of that utterance of our heart in a moment of life. And so we want this prayer to echo in our lives, in our families, in our places of work. And we ask you to again meet us by your Spirit. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.